It's not so easy to redo the whole thing, Rabbi Yisrael. But we'll try to explain how to do it. So let's begin. We'll try to do this in a practical sense. To try to go about this in some practical fashion. Now, the place that we have to begin, is we have to begin with the stovetop. We need two things to kasher. And in domestic kashrus, we principally need only one. The second one we shouldn't be using just a bit. Right? And those that have experience in commercial kashrus, the equipment is different, the environment is different. And once in a while somebody roasts the hotel, whatever, and does, you know, real beer chametz on the whole place. It happens also, but you know, we hope, but usually that doesn't happen, usually. But we use different methods. You know, we use wet heat and dry heat. Now, dry heat, you know, in terms of torches and fires of that nature, the house is not made to withstand them. The equipment is not made at the right level to withstand that type of assault on it. Nor are we trained, and it's very, very unsafe in the home environment to be involved with such things, unless one is very, very highly trained professionally, and I'm not sure even the kasher, even with that, you should be doing in that environment. So most of what we need in the home environment is a lot of hot water. So we're going to get hot water, it's kosher to Pesach, so we have to kasher the stovetop. That's where we have to start. Now, I guess I've been musing for the last day. I guess the fiddler was right. He says, if I were a rich man, I'd have a Pesach house, you know. That's it. Come Erev Yontov, lock the door, go next door, use the next house for 8-10 days, clean it up, lock it up again, and not look at it until next year. But life doesn't work that way. And I guess the Rabbeinu Shalom doesn't want it to work that way. I think he'd rather that we do the amelus, the toil of the mitzvahs. And from the toil of the mitzvahs, we do gain a great deal. The things which are most cherished to us in life, Chabad Salavava says, are the things that we work the hardest for. Why are our children so dear to us? Because it's really the biggest investment that we make in life. In every regard, in every resource that we have, personal, financial, it's the biggest investment that we make. And that really is reflected in how significant our children are to us. Now, let's look at stovetops. Stovetops, if you have a glass stovetop, I don't have much to tell you, you're in trouble. Because glass stovetops are not made for being covered. And if you try to cover them, as I tell people all the time, I went to one of my Chassidish friends one Sunday in Borough Park, and he just bought a glass top stove. He put the blech on, and he showed me thousands of little pieces. The thing just shattered over Shabbos, literally. The thousands of pieces. So, glass tops are pretty, not something you should be having for Pesach. And I guess if you want to use them for Pesach, don't buy them for the whole year. So let's leave that to the side for now. So you still have time to do tshuva before Yontif and get yourself an unglass top. But that's a different problem. If you don't have a glass top stove, so we have two types. We have gas stoves and electric stoves, which are non-glass tops. Gas, I mean, obviously the first thing that we have to do is it has to be well washed down, the whole stove top. And somewhat underneath, in the underneath areas, we should clean out any chametz which may have gathered up together in there. But we don't have to go to town scrubbing out the guts of the underneath of the stovetop. I mean, fortunately, most things, you know, that go down do not have a means of coming up again to bother us. So, you know, we don't want a ton of chametz down there, but beyond that, it's nothing that we have to go nuts about. But the areas, the upper surfaces, we need to clean. We need to clean them well. I was at a meeting today discussing, you know, kashering, and a young Rav said, explained to someone that has to do it. He said, you understand, what I need is one thing. I need the oven to be spotless. That's what I need. Whatever cleaning takes place normally here is not relevant to me. What I need is it to be spotless when they're finished. That's what I need. Finished. Nothing more and nothing less. So, you have to scrub it clean. Now, how do we get the burners kosher? Now, the burners are very fortunate. Whatever we do is basically overkill. And that really gives us a lot of latitude not to be have too much anxiety about it. Let me tell you the Ikar Adim, bottom line halacha. You go into a, you come to me on the night of the Seder and you make a horrific discovery that your shiksa today, the goita, cooked a pot of noodles and chazer right on your stovetop. And she left. And now you put up your kosher Pesach soup at the knedlich for the Seder. And now you come running into me. I'm about to serve and I found out what the goita did. What do? The halacha is that the knedlich and the soup are kosher l'mahadron. Period. Kosher l'mahadron. That's the halacha. So in reality, we don't even tzara din. We don't really even have to really kasher the grates. So we have chumras that we do. Varied chumras for varied reasons. So for that reason, we don't have too much anxiety about this. And the method that's emerged over the years is to take foil and to put it a little bit high enough over the surface of the burner, so when you put up the flame doesn't burn a hole in it, because otherwise it won't trap the heat. And leave it on for about 15 minutes in that fashion. Now you have to be very careful that the foil should just be over the grate area. Do not have it over the enamel area, because if not, you're going to singe the enamel. You're going to have brown spots, which you won't be able to remove. You're going to singe the enamel. And for that reason, do not take a big piece of aluminum foil and cover all four burners at once and then put the flames up, because you're going to make a wreck of the enamel. And if there are any electronic controls there, you may wreck them too. So the most you want is to do one or two flames at once and just a little piece of aluminum foil over the grate and put it on for 15 minutes. And then it's kosher. Now, the pan itself, either you should have separate drip pans for Pesach. If not, you have to cover the drip pan with foil. And the stovetop itself should be covered with foil. Because the stovetop.
Why do you have to cover the... Why can't you put the...
Put what?
Gas on for 15
minutes. On what? You're not going to... Because you're going to destroy the thing. If you put that in fire for 15 minutes, it's gonna turn black.
Why can't you just put it on until...
Then you'll certainly destroy it. It's a very light gauge. It is not made to be handled in such fashion.
Can you just cook a pot of water over
it? Not so readily, because you have a lot of times through dry heat it absorbs. It doesn't only absorb through wet heat. So especially according to the Ashkenazic practice, it won't work.
So you cover the gray, aluminum foil, and turn it off.
Minutes, and then it's kosher. And the drip pan either replace or cover for either duration of yontif. Now the stove top is also not usually in a fashion. Wait, we'll get there. What?
Yes.
Yes, but make it a little bit like this, not flat, because you don't want the fire to burn a hole in the foil. One burner, that's all. Yes. Yeah, leave it a little open. You need air to get in from the bottom. Otherwise, it's not going to work.
If you change the grates,
right. You don't, and afterwards. After the surface, yes, the surface of the stove. You cover with aluminum foil, yes. You can do it before too if you want. You can do it before either way. What's that? Yeah, you don't know. It's an overkill. As I'm saying, we have two types of Lieben. We have Lieben Gomer, which basically means to make something basically up to hundreds of degrees. And we have Lieben Kahl, is to heat it slightly, somewhat.
If you put it in the oven 15 minutes, would that be...
I don't know if you go... at a high temperature, it may work. I don't know.
But it doesn't become red.
No, you don't need it to become red. It does not have to become red. It doesn't have to be... At some point in the oven, I don't know how long it's going to take to heat up. I know in a closed environment that I know it gets much hotter, the way I'm telling you, than putting it in the oven. Because I know commercially, for example, in commercial kashering, the way we kasher grates commercially, don't dare try this in your house. But commercial ovens are totally made of steel on the top. Steel, heavy gauge. So in commercial kashering, we take all the oven racks, we pile them up on a 4 or 6 burner stovetop. We cover it with a ton of aluminum foil. We put all the flames up high, And then we just go about doing everything else in the kitchen. And an hour and a half or 2 hours later, that thing is red all the way till the, from the bottom until the top. You can stack them up this high, and it's red. The goyim blow their minds. They never saw this thing so clean in their life. You know.
Can you put the grate and the drip pan in the soap cleaner?
Yeah, I don't know what you kid can, and you may destroy them too. You know, you may not emerge. The grates will probably emerge, and the drip pans will probably get destroyed. What?
If you have
enamel on the grates, it's certainly going to burn it. Yeah, that's for sure. If you have the types with enamel.
What is the drip pan?
That's the part thing that the grate sits on. It sits on something. That's a drip pan. It's a little pan. Hang on a minute, please. Now, if you have electric in this regard, electric's much easier. Just put electric on the highest, let it stay for a few minutes. If it didn't turn red yet, throw down a piece of aluminum foil, and in about 2 seconds it'll be red, and you're way past where you have to be, and it's kosher. And then you just cover the top and onwards. Now, you do have to be careful when you cover your oven top to make sure if you have an oven, rather stove top, if you have an oven underneath, do not close up the holes where you have your vents. You know, that you have to be careful about, not to do that. And you also have to be careful when you have the heat going, you don't want the aluminum foil draping too closely to the controls. Now, do not dump water if you have an electric stovetop on the stovetop. I'll tell you, if I was in the business of repairs, I would tell everyone to dump all the water, you know, because guaranteed you'll wind up with a repairman there. Something will burn out if you dump water. Just not a way to go. Yeah. You have, in other words, you're talking, you have a grate which is not over the fire.
It's over the fire.
Yeah, but it's not all over the fire. Exactly. So that you're best off putting into the self-cleaning. Yeah. Yes. Okay, now, let's go on to sinks. Sinks is the next problem that we have. But let's try to do this in organized fashion, from the beginning until the end. Aleph is when you want to kasher. Yes.
The surface of the oven has to be full hot water.
No, don't stove top. Do not pour hot. Just cover it up with aluminum foil. That's enough. You don't need to pour water on it.
Just a quick question about stove top. The Rav recommend looking at what's with the Rav says to put foil on top of the stove top to prevent drippings, or Rav doesn't
follow it. Right.
The hood on top of the oven.
We'll get to the hoods. The hoods, I usually put, if there's a hood over the oven, I cover over the hood for that reason. That there shouldn't be issues of anything dripping down. If you get hot steam there and it drips down, Pesach is a particular problem, worse than the whole year in that regard. Why? Because of the fact that a whole year, even if you had a tiny bit of steam fell down, we have bottled b'shishim the whole year. So therefore, if some little thing falls down, it's still not going to render the food unkosher. On Pesach, even if it wasn't used for 24 hours, and even if it's the tiniest bit, we're in trouble. So if you have a hood under there, obviously you should cover up the bottom of the hood. Now,
what?
I didn't get to the oven yet. I'm just talking about stovetops. We'll get there. Don't worry. It's all here. I don't know. Ask your dealer. I have no idea. I don't own one, and I don't know what its heat resistance is. It could be very well different than glass, but that ask kind of deals in it. I don't know.
Once you pass the grate, you put the foil underneath it.
On the drip pans.
Not the drip pans, just the surface of the stove.
Of course, on the surface of the stove has to be covered. Yeah, we mentioned that. Yeah. We did mention that. Now, sinks, let's start off with this. Aleph is that before we kosher anything, we don't use it for hot for 24 hours. Now, I'm not dealing with the things that we're going to kosherize with dry heat. Forget that. So anytime that we're using fire directly, this rule is suspended. But when we're using water, hot water, to kosher something, or steam, it cannot have been used for 24 hours. So Aleph with the sink is is close the hot water before 24 hours before you want to kosher it, number one. And number two is don't dump any hot things into that sink for 24 hours before. Now, if you don't close the hot water, you're probably going to be starting over again 17 times until you get to Yontif. Because someone's going to come and forget that it's before Yontif and open the hot water, and who knows what's going to happen. So close, climb underneath, close the check valve, get the hot water off, leave it off for 24 hours, don't dump any hot into the stove, and now you're ready to kosher it. Now. All sinks, no matter what the sink is made of. Don't worry next what comes next. Now, sinks come, for my purposes, in two types. Stainless sinks and all others. So if you have a stainless sink, all you need to do is you boil up hot water and then very slowly pour the hot water as much as you can on every spot directly. It could take a good few kettles to do it. But once you did that, it's kosher. Now you should also dump water on the spout where the hot water comes. If there's an aerator that's removable, replace the aerator. Now the spray itself, if you have a sprayer, if the spray is made of metal and the hose is made of metal, then you can dump hot water and kosherize them. And if they're made of rubber, principally, then you should just close them up for you if you're not used the spray. Now, anything else I want to add to this? No. What? The spritz. And some ovens, yes, and some ovens, no. Depending also what the pipe is made from. It's all different. If the pipe is made of a plastic or the pipe is made of metal, you know, the flexible part. Okay. So whatever. Listen, the Iker is, according to Rav Moshe Feinstein Zatzal, is you go according to what the principal material is. And the principal material is metal. Yeah. Now. Hang on. Wait. Shh. Now, one important thing when we're talking about a stainless sink being kosher in this fashion is assuming that your normal practice is not to put hot pots directly into the sink. If you normally put hot pots directly into the sink, then we're going to have to need one more step. Now, the step that you could do, as I said, in a commercial setting, you forget about trying to do here. In other words, the step using a hot stone, etc., just forget about it. It's not going to happen. It's going to be way too difficult to actually accomplish. In the commercial setting, what we do in this situation is we spray water on the oven floor, we take a torch, boil it off and finish. That's the end of the problem. But our houses are not made to do such type of things. Now, if you normally put pots down, then we go to a step two. And that is all other sinks other than stainless. You should also dump hot water on them because they may be kosherable and it may save you shilas later if perchance something bumps into the enamel, it gets uncovered during yontif and you bump into it. It'll be a big tzad to be makel. That you don't have to consider it chometzdik. But after you dump that water on it, then lechatchila, you should cover the inside of the sink. Whether you cover it with aluminum foil, whether you cover it with an insert, whatever you want. Now you should dump something down the drain, like ammonia or bleach, something to that effect, because there are pieces of food there. We want to render them inedible before yontif. The plug should also be, if you have a stopper that you use, obviously you have to replace the stopper for yontif. If you have any strainers you use in that sink to keep the junk from going down, you also have to replace them for yontif. We do not kosher things with very fine holes in them. So those are the things that you have to do for a sink.
This is non-stainless.
Well, this is for non-stainless, but a stainless one where you put the pots down, you basically wind up in the same situation. I mean, there is technically those that are really trained in how to do it. I'm not going to get into it because it is not a safe practice.
What about using a steamer as opposed to water? They make a small device that shoots out
paper. If it's the water is at a very high temperature, there's a basic.
Temperature,
at a pretty much a boiling temperature. I don't think you have to go a lot over it. I'm not 100% familiar. Some one of them I saw, I thought was good. One of them I said I saw, I thought was good. Yeah.
So every water temperature water boils have to be good enough.
Yeah.
That's coming out. Now that I was boiling here, it's actually coming out.
Yeah, the question is if you need it, it's not really, I don't think it's going to take the place of Evan Malubin. That's a different problem. Okay. I'm not getting involved. No stones. Goodbye. It's dangerous, and I'm not getting. I said you cover it up. If you put out pots, you cover your stove. Finished. I did that already. Yes. I said you should throw something down the drain of bleach or ammonia. Okay. What? Yeah, you should do it first before you dump the boiling water around. A Pesach pot. A Pesach pot.
Yeah,
no, it doesn't have to be new. No, it just has to be a Pesach pot. Could be used. You don't need a new one, you need a Pesach one. No. You have to be careful to get the bottom of the spout too. So you have to sort of take the kettle, flip the water up. Okay. Now, if we got this far, let's talk about countertops. So you should not just have it pour. You should aim the water little by little that it directly goes on each part of the wall. You need I use a lot of kettles to actually do the sink. Now, like this.
So someone has a question.
Yeah.
You say a hot pot is affecting the sink. That doesn't mean if you're draining like a spaghetti pot or something that...
No, if you dump water, if you put the pot down directly on this. Yeah. Yeah.
An instant hot water.
The instant hot water heaters, you can... run some water through them and dump water on the spout outside in the kosher for Pesach. They're pretty easy to kosher. Yeah.
Do you specifically a kosher Pesach kettle?
Yes. If we're koshering for Pesach, you're best off using a
kosher.
Before Pesach, nothing can happen to the pot. Nice and Tam Lev Gam is not an issue before Pesach. Yeah.
I have a very old sink. No matter how well I clean it, when I pour the boiling water over it, black stuff comes.
I don't know what the black is. Listen, black, we're not worried. It's nothing edible, that's all. Don't worry about it, you know. Okay, yes.
What if you occasionally will put a hot pot on the lip of the sink?
So you should not, you know, if you do that, you should really cover the lip of the sink. If you
just
do that.
Not
the whole thing. No. Now, let me add one thing. If you realize in the middle of Yontif, that you sometimes did put hot pots down during the year, or you didn't, and you didn't do anything more than dump hot water on it, it's still kosher for Pesach. Okay, it's the base mayor or whatever that says that basically, if you really can't achieve the Evan Malubin, it's enough to rely on the Mechava sheet. Yeah, Mendel. No. No, you just basically should cover up, you know, the stove with something so you don't come to use it. Have some simmer that it's not usable. You don't have to do anything. Yeah. Yes. Start again to 24 hours. That's the problem. What? That's why you have to get in charge. And that's, you know, you have problems. No, listen, just you close the check valve and put maybe tape or something that people know not to put anything there. But this is an adventure every year. If you have an insert, you'll have less issue. Yes, yeah, that's true.
Is this opinion of most of the rabbis that doesn't have to kosher if I go on vacation?
You don't need to kasher if you're not home. There's nothing to kasher. There's no reason to kasher. You can't have chometz in your house. You can have all the you can have all the chometz, the dishes and pots and pans in your house that you want if you go on vacation. Your house has to be clean, not the dishes. Yeah.
The pot that you're using.
Yeah, there's nothing you have to do about it.
The kettle that you're using to kasher the sink. So yeah. How do you kasher that kettle?
You get a Pesach kettle. You get yourself a Pesach kettle.
It's a brand new kettle.
Yeah, simple. You know, one day in your life you're going to make Pesach here. Really. It's terror. I'm going to need to strike terror into your heart.
I'll start with the kettle.
That's it. Now, let's get on to countertops. Let's get on to countertops. 10:30, I have to be home. I have an appointment. Now, countertops, from my standpoint, also come basically in two types. You can have solid granite, not a composite, solid piece of granite. In this country, less likely to have, more likely in Israel to have marble, a solid piece of marble. Those you can kasher just by dumping hot water all over the top of them, and that's, they do not have to be covered. Again, with the proviso that you don't normally put hot pots on them, but from what I gather is most people do not put hot pots on them directly. I was speaking to a worker who installs commercial kitchens, and he says, I wanted to break the neck of some guy that came into my kitchen. He says, I just spent $6,000 putting down the granite, and he's going to stand on it and crack it. He says, no way, you know, I'm not putting up with it. So most people are careful not to put very hot things down because they're afraid it could harm the surface. So usually on these surfaces, most people are careful, at least if they put something hot, to put it on something else first.
How hot does the
pan get
to?
Yatsa lettuce. What? I didn't say you should put them. Normally it's not, as long as they're dry. Then you could put them there and it's clean. But obviously you shouldn't be putting milach. We're not talking about putting milachiks and fleishiks in the same. You'll still have a milachik place and a fleishik place. But for Pesach, you'll have a kasher fleishik place and a kasher milachik place. But you can put, if you have enough space, you can put, here's the counter for the milachiks, there's the counter for the fleishiks. But in these type of counters, usually that we have the stone one, people do not usually put hot down directly on them. That's what I see. Shayish there on the cracks. Then it's duck.
You do it with fire.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, the sealant, okay, we can quote, it's, Rav Scheinberg Zatzal, I asked this, Rav Shul Kamenetsky once asked me this shayla. We met and he just asked me, and I told him I don't know if I knew the answer at that time from Rav Scheinberg, but I ultimately heard from Rav Scheinberg that one should not be concerned with the sealant. The sealant is considered not more than a miyut, a minor aspect of the whole stone, and Ramele, you should be so mifan that you can dump up water in kasher. That's what he held. Now, if you have enamel or any composites, now composites, you have a lot of ground up stone. They tell me the way to tell composites is if the surface is very uniform. In other words, if you have the same design all over the place, that's a composite. You do not achieve that in nature. When you make it, fabricate it by grinding up stone and putting it back together, you can make the surface be uniform. So you'll have the same pattern throughout. But if the pattern varies throughout, it's usually, that's the siman, that is not a composite. I'm not a believer in kasher and composites. If you go to Chicago, they'll let you. They tell me the CLC is makel about it, but others agree with me. Corian is a composite. It's a ground-up stone, which you should not kasher. So and any of the non-granite solid pieces are non-marble, you should dump hot water on them anyhow in case something winds up touching them, and then cover them. I mean, if for some reason you can't, like formica, if for some reason it's too hard or too difficult to dump the water on them, just cover them well.
But you put hot water on formica and use the same
powder? No, you have to cover it anyhow.
Anywhere?
Yes, so the cover, the pouring is the chumrah. The din has to cover it. So if you don't want to dump the hot water for some reason, you just want to cover it, but cover it well, you can get away with that too. Wait. Now, the main thing, but in case you happen to get it, gets uncovered and you touch something to it, you're not going to have shyness of chametz. Now, around a stovetop, you have to, all around the edges of the stove, around the splashboards, splashbacks, you have to cover up. And similarly around the countertops, you want to cover all around them, because we work with all types of chametz on there throughout the year. So we don't want anything to splash on there and bring any blea of chametz down from it. So they should all around on the side walls of the splashback should be covered. Now, let's go on to talking about ovens. Ovens, for my purposes, come in two types. Self-cleaning and non-self-cleaning. If they're self-cleaning, clean the menu. Because for two reasons. Number one, if you don't clean them, you can wind up with a fire. I know a guy who decided the night before Yom Tov to put on his self-cleaning, and he didn't clean it. And he wound up with flames shooting out the vent because the fat in the oven caught fire. Fortunately for him, he's a guy that has a mishigas, that he likes all types of gadgets. So he had fire extinguishers in his kitchen, which was a good thing to have, and he shot the fire extinguishers, and it actually succeeded in putting out the flames. The fire department came, and he wasn't only a little worse off for the wear, that he had some soot that he had to clean up over his kitchen the night before Yom Tov, but other than that, he survived. So, first clean it out anyhow. Secondly, then put it on for 3 hours, and you can leave the racks inside and burn it out. If you see that there's some end, you have real chametz, something didn't burn up, you should put it on for another 3 hours after that. Now, you have to be very careful around the areas near the outside, near the door area, to scrub that well, because the self-cleaning does not always work so well in that area. Now, what I am noting is once the stove starts to get somewhat older, if you see that you have inside the oven door, you have penetration of fumes. In other words, you see discoloration, and they're indicating that the seals are no longer have integrity, and you're getting fumes are leaking into them, or they can leak from underneath. If it looks dirty inside there, then it's worthwhile to cover over the door from the inside. You know, not everyone is machmer in that, but I become concerned. I see a lot of times that the fumes penetrate inside the door, and you can see the residue of the.
So if the glass is
discolored. If the glass is discolored.
It's like a brand new stove, you wouldn't have to cover
it. No, you do not have to cover it, no. But it should be very careful in the area right around where the door is to scrub that area well to make sure that the self cleaning will do its thing.
The only thing when the rust is cleaned out well, the only thing you're looking for is the bed?
Yes. Now. If you have, hang on, one more minute. If you have the type of stove that has a grill underneath, a grill section underneath it.
Oven.
It has on the bottom. Some have an oven on the top, and underneath they have a grill. The pans for the grill you should put into the self-cleaning oven for the same 3 hours, and the rest you should scrub it out and put on the flame for about an hour and a half. On a high flame, and that's enough over there. Now, if you don't have a self-cleaning oven, so that's the best piece of advice. Remember, Kessler says, get one. I don't know anyone in our community that replaces an oven today with a non-self-cleaning one. It just doesn't happen anymore.
How about the warmer underneath the oven?
Which what type of warmer? What?
The warming drawer.
Yeah. Let's close it up for Pesach. Close it up, yeah. Now hang on a minute. Now, so if you have a non-self-cleaning oven, you should clean it out, put the temperature on for about an hour and a half at the highest heat, and then you have to very painstakingly cover the whole inside with aluminum foil, and I did that for many years and before we had a self-cleaning oven. It's not an easy job, but with heavy-duty aluminum foil, you can push it all in gently, make room for the tracks, etc., put the grates back inside, but it's not an easy job. but it's doable. Most people don't like inserts nowadays because those that are women say they don't work too well. My mother, Allah Shalom, baked a lot and she had an insert, you know. But that's not what most women are interested in doing nowadays. Yeah.
Can the broiler itself clean the oven be used to pay stuff?
The broiler, what?
Because it's inside.
It's in the oven itself, yeah. It's no problem, yeah. Yeah.
What if you have like a spot that you've been scrubbing and scrubbing at that you
can't? After, listen, you run it the second time. If it doesn't come off the second time, forget about it. There's nothing there that we have to be concerned about at that point. Now, what else do we need to do? What we need to do is the tables. The tables are very easy to do. Just clean them and cover them. Now, you don't need any special amount of, you know, of covers on them. There should be enough covers that they're obviously not going to get a hole on Pesach, and you're going to put yourself something down on a chametz-dicker surface. So for that reason, I usually use some, you know, light cardboards or these things that they make nowadays, these whitish things. So I know that it's unlikely that I'm not going to get a hole through them. And then whatever, then we cover over with tablecloths and life goes on. But, you know, I don't have any special requirements. And Rabbi Heinemann has all types of chumras here in this, you'll look. And I've never been able to fathom them. So I called one of my chaverim today in the Starkey. And he said, oops, I'm Heinemann as his chumras say. He says, what they are, he says, I haven't figured out either yet. So, you know. So, listen, he's entitled, and Pesach, we're all entitled to have a chumras. But most of the things there, in this regard, anything more than that, is certainly chumras. Now, if you have a table with a crack, because it has a leaf, you may want to open up, because usually you tend, especially a kitchen table, gets tons of crumbs gathered in that crack. Now, you're not... Well, you don't want, listen, you want crumbs around the kitchen flying around on Pesach. And let's say you have put some food under the table, then what? Yeah, let's say you put your bag of potatoes under the table when you come home from the store. You want breadcrumbs in it? You know, let's figure it out. Now, some are machmer to dump hot water on the table too, on a kitchen table, but the ikar is to cover it. Now, the dining room table, you just have to clean off and cover. And as I say, I use those white things, those insulated things they sell in the hardware stores. I cover the table with that, and then put some tablecloths on top, and life goes on. Now, hang on. Let's go a couple of more things.
Can I go back to the oven?
Hang on, we'll get there. I'm not ready yet.
The oven.
But I'm not ready yet. Now, let's talk about refrigerators first. Refrigerators, the ikar is you have to wash them out. That's all you have to do. You're not mechuyev to cover the shelves, with one exception. Some people want to cover the shelves. They're nervous. They didn't clean it properly. It doesn't work so well if you cover the shelves. But if you want to, I'm not against covering them, but it works better if you don't bother to cover the shelves, usually the ones that are made with spaces in between the wires. If you put hot pots directly into the shelves and then you should really be covering them, lechatchila. If you normally put hot pots directly into the refrigerator. If you wait till the pots cool off, what? Hot. If it might have happened, I wouldn't worry too much about it, because principally the halacha is the following. Principally, the reason that I told you at the beginning that you don't really have to kasha the grates is for two reasons. The Ramosha Zatzal, very interesting, is Medayak and the Chofetz Chaim. Chofetz Chaim says if you put a pot down and it's dry underneath, we have a principle of Shtekederis. In Shtekederis, if it's dry in between, there's no bliya, nothing transfers between them. And Ramosha also says even the Chatchila, it's not a B'diyevet. So most of the time, if you're putting it down and the surface is going to be clean and dry, which it probably is, you're not going to have. So if it happens all the time, inevitably, sometimes something's going to spill. But it's a very sporadic thing. And where mitzaradin, I'm not mechuyev to do more than what's the principle use anyhow, so then I wouldn't worry about it. That's what you have to be more careful, the bigger issue, yes. Okay, there's a question? Yeah.
Double wrapping in a non self-cleaning oven.
Double wrapping what?
Let's double wrap it. Is that guilty instead of putting it in an insert?
After you kosher the oven or before you kosher the oven?
After an hour and a
half. After you koshered it, well, where are you going to put the pan on? You have to put the pan on something too.
But the whole thing is double wrapped. It's a double pan and it's
if you double wrapped it after you koshered it, I would not object to it.
Like the grates in the
self-pan. Yeah, I would not object if you, especially if you did it before Yom Tov. But if you double wrapped it, I would not object. What?
The edges of the counter?
Which edges?
The lip.
Depends what are they made of.
Granite.
Granite? No, the hot water is fine for that too.
And is there any steamers now that you have a thing granite? Is that an option?
Yeah, I guess if the water comes out very hot from them, I'm not. Then you could use them instead of the kettle. Yeah. Shabbos plat, just put them away for Pesach. Forget about it. Now, the Shabbos plat.
The
okay. Now, hang on. Let's do a couple of more things, and then we'll have at least finished all the things we need to do. Microwaves. Basically, what? What?
It's plastic inside and the bottom is glass.
If you wash it and it's clean, you're allowed to use it.
New
is certainly not an issue. Yeah. Now, microwaves. If they're plastic, don't kosher them for Yom Tov. If they're metal inside, then you can kosher them by pouring water, scrubbing them out. Wait 24 hours, pour some water on the floor, put water inside and steam up the inside. And then they are kosher, basically. Until it gets hot, until the steam steams up the inside.
What does that mean, steam up the inside?
Get steam. You'll feel the steam. You steam all over the place. Yeah. Now, dishwashers, basically, if they're not stainless, then certainly stay away from. If they're stainless, it's better to stay away from them, but they're kosher. They are kosherable, assuming that you have different racks for Pesach. That racks usually are so expensive, they cost you like half the price of the machine. They rip you off commercial costs for them. Okay, I think we basically covered all the things that we need to do. Yeah?
Do you have to move?
The answer is very simple. If it's furniture that you typically move during the year, sometime, then you are mechuyev to move it before Pesach. If it's the type of things that you never move, like the refrigerator or the stove, so the same way they managed to sit there since last Erev Pesach, let them sit until a month after Pesach. I want to start. Maybe now that we have, we'll get maybe on Facebook, we'll be able to do this. I never had the technology. Now that they have Facebook, maybe we can do this. We're going to start May 15th, National Jewish Cleaning Day, That's it, We're going to make a band. You're not allowed to clean the house. No spring cleaning until May 15th. We're going to start a national drive, sign everybody up, make a celebration out of it. Yeah. The kashrus, for the pachwa, if it's before Pesach and the pachwa wasn't used for 24 hours, you're fine. But the minig is to kasher the pot first. That's the minig. In general, I am not a big fan of kashering, except maybe things, like a becher or something like that. Other than that, I'm principally not a
big fan. You kasher the pot, you boil water, you put something in
there? You have boil water, it has to go over the top, you have to put something in, etc. Yeah. Let me touch this, please. This is very, very important. Rav Scheinberg, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, was very, very big on the fact that that there's a mitzvah to say in the Torah, v'samachta b'chagecha. V'samachta b'chagecha applies to Pesach too. And he says, to drive yourself to distraction and cleaning is a violation of the mitzvah v'samachta b'chagecha. So you have to do what you're supposed to do. But as I said, we have all types of anxiety-driven things which really have no place in the halacha. They're rooted in anxiety, not in halacha. I mean, if you want to take, for example, your toaster and take it all apart before Pesach to clean out every last crumb, there's no halachic requirement. You know, want to open it and shake it out so you don't have a kazayas of chum, it's good. But you're putting it away with your chum, it's kalim. So just put it away. You're not mechuyev to go looking for tiny, tiny pieces of chametz along the edges of the carpet. Rav Moshe Feinstein's Hatzal established based on the Gemara that the piece that we have to look for, it doesn't have to be a kezias, but it has to be a piece that's big enough that a person would reasonably pick up to eat. If it's smaller than that, there's no necessity of even of looking for it. What? Well, it could be a half a kezias too sometimes. Could be. It doesn't have to be a kezias. It could be a chosh of a piece. Yeah, it doesn't. That means it's appealing. That doesn't tell me the size, but it has to be something that's appealing to a person.
Rabbi, based on emotion, I don't understand the appeal to shake up pockets, which are not going to be.
It's very simple, because if you look in your kids' pockets, you have all types of things in your pockets. You can have a sandwich in their pocket too. That's very simple. Yeah, and you know, listen, I sometimes put bread in my coat pocket. If I buy a few slices of bread, then I don't, you know, I stuff them in my coat pocket, you know. So I put them in a plastic. There, go off, Benji. You know? Yeah. Listen, did you ever put a granola bar in your pocket? What? Well, listen, it might have opened since you put it in there, right? And even if it's not open, it's still chametz. You got to get it out of there, right? It's steamed oats. That's what it is. A granola bar is steamed oats. Yeah, it's mamash real chametz. Yeah, they do ones for example, Nature Valley and what's his name, Quaker, I think is the other one. Those two, the oats are actually steamed. That's how they flatten them. So it's mamash real chametz.
Is there anything we have to be concerned about in terms of the handling of the
kitchen? The handles, wash them off. You want some dumps, you want to be extra careful. Dump some hot water on them. Can't hurt in case something, you know, touches them on Yom Tov. But that's all.
The knobs on the
ring. Oh, no, this is important. The knobs, there are, I always, you know, tell people in commercial settings, but there's a big lesson for the home setting too. What's the fastest way to make bosa b'cholov in a commercial setting? Best. If they're not careful with the gloves, kitchen gloves, and the same is true in the home setting. Gloves have all types of gook on them. And if you're not careful to change them between milchus and fleishigs, this is the quick road to bosa b'cholov, guaranteed. Now similarly, especially the handles that turn the gas on and gas off get very, very dirty during the year on the stove. So at least you should scrub them clean. You may want to soak them a little bit in ammonia overnight just to get all the grime off them so there's no real chametz on them before you're starting Pesach. It might not be a bad idea even to dump some hot water on them too. Not on the stove top, elsewhere, like in the sink. Yeah,
David. If you have meat that you bought during the year, can you use it on Pesach?
Basically all the kashrus agencies write the same thing. If you're dealing with non-ground meat, solid meat, you defrost it and rinse it off, and you can use it on Pesach. You can defrost it on Yom Tov and rinse it off. What's the chshav?
You're afraid that maybe they had some breading on another chicken.
Yeah. So what happened? So let's say there is a breading, first of all. So you have a piece of bread. So what happened now? There's nothing happened. So you wash it off, it goes down the drain, and it's not chametz. What happened? Well, how's the bliya taking place? They didn't cook it with that. That's number one. Number two, we live in a country which is, for better or for worse, but usually for better, crazy about nikias. You know, they're very, very makpid about things being clean. Very makpid about things being clean. So let's say it's unlikely to have happened. If it did happen, so you rinse it off. That's the reason that on ground meats we don't use it, because in case something did fall in, we can't get rid of it. But on whole meats or whole chickens, just rinse it off. It's not shchiach. It's certainly not shchiach. Elamai, you know, I had a friend once. He bought a butcher shop. a long, long time ago, about 40 years ago, more than that. And he comes to me, it was this time, it was prime of the year between Purim and Pesach. He says, tell me, he says, I'm trying to figure out, what do I have to do to make the butcher shop kosher for Pesach? So he says, I can't, you know. So he says, what I figured out is the following. You know, we have to sweep the floor, stop eating in the back, hang up the sign kosher for Pesach, and raise the prices. Yeah. Mitzar Adin, as Rav Moshe wrote, you're allowed to sell any chometz. There are many that are machmer based on the groan not to sell it. And that really depends on what your rabbeim and what your family's minhag is. I do want to run over a few things which are relevant just in practical terms in products. The latest and the greatest. The following. First of all, one thing we do have to be careful about, this has finally arrived in Baltimore, in fact, but we've had it here for a number of years. We have, Baruch Hashem, a very diverse from community. Diverse, we have Ashkenazim and Sephardim. And because of that, we have to respect, in fact, within the Vada Rabbanan, the needs of the Sephardic community as well. And we sell products in our establishments in clearly marked areas, but that have kitnias in them. And they're clearly marked that these are for Sephardim and not for Ashkenazim, only for Ochle kitnias. So we do have to be careful. You have Nikki salads, for example. Is an example, the kosher Pesach, but the kosher Pesach for people that eat kidneys. So one does have to be careful. And as I tell people every year, every single item of food, before you put it into use on Pesach, read its label. Don't assume because you ordered the kosher Pesach on, you got the kosher Pesach on. You might have gotten the Chometz Gomer one instead of the kosher Pesach one. And I don't know how many times that I've run into this, that it's happened, including the horror story of a few years ago with the gefilte fish, when somebody called me up the first day Chol HaMoed that they realized they ordered a whole box of gefilte fish. They didn't even look at it, they just popped it out of the freezer and cooked it. They served it at the Seder, the first day under the Seder, etc. On Chol HaMoed they discovered they had the chometz tikka one, which has real chometz in it, and not the Pesach tikka one. Every time you use a package of food, follow what we do in Rocking Gorse. Nothing is put into in Rocking Gorse in the wintertime unless the workers come and show the Mashgiach every single package and they read the label and he says they can use it. They can't put anything into use. It doesn't make any difference. In our own houses, things get tossed all over the store. Somebody picks up the chometz, they put it down on the Pesach shelf. I pick it up without realizing. Read the label of every single piece item of food before you put it into use, number one. Now, this is relevant to Sephardim with the Starkei rice for Pesach. There was some commotion about the enrichments. All the enrichments are, in fact, synthetic. So those that have the Starkei for Pesach, the enrichments certainly do not make for a problem. Now, those that may in the past have had to use soy milk, there is also many find that Lieber's almond milk is available, which is kosher for Pesach, which is good for many people. Now, if you don't find with other hashgachas, you know, when you may come, some of these don't have, not the regular hashgachas that we use commonly in our establishments, but the sun-made raisins, the sun-sweet prunes and water, and the sun-sweet prune juice are all acceptable for Pesach. But as I said, most of these items we could find, the world about 2 years back, you could not find them without any with the hashgachas that we typically use. Now you can, but if you don't find them, these are usable. The vintage seltzer, all the flavored seltzers are once again kosher to Pesach. In fact, made in the very same plant where only makes the ShopRite seltzer with the very same flavors. The parchment paper from Stock A, even if it does not have a P, is kosher to Pesach. The Dole salads and the Fresh Express are both good for Pesach without having a P on them. You don't need the kosher to Pesach on them. If you're one of those, I personally do not think that quinoa is kidneyous. If you want to use it on Pesach, there was some concern which emerged a year ago that there is barley, either grows next to it or is processed with it. That, in fact, has been confirmed that there is such an issue. There is a brand which is called Ancient Harvest, and if you want to know which it is, it's 3.01.4K, which means 3114 in effect, 3.01.4K. That's the batch that you want. And either you can get it in the stores or order it online. It's called Ancient Harvest 3.01.4K.
No,
Yes, but this we know was not processed with any, it was but free of barley issues.
Is this only for Sfarim?
No, kinwa is good for everybody. It's not kidneys. Yeah. Now, nuts that are raw and shelled, typically in our markets you can get them with Ashgacha and you should buy them with Ashgacha. But if they are raw and shelled and have no additives, mean no additives, no preservatives, you're allowed to use them on Yom Tov. Okay, that's the product information. As of today. This, why? I don't use any Xeris. It's not Xeris kidneys. That's all. It's not altogether such a thing. It wasn't an Xeris, and I don't think it's nor is it that type of minute. It's a different thing altogether. I think it's more like a berry. I'm just telling you. It depends. Does it say who gives the hashgacha on it? What? The Bedatz doesn't give hashgachas for Pesach altogether, so I can't tell you. You should buy something where there's an ishur for Pesach. The Bedatz doesn't give hashgachas for Pesach, almost not at all. What? A little bit. If it says kosher the Pesach. You know, if it's a reliable Ashgacha that says it's kosher the Pesach, that's fine.
If you are cleaning the grate of an oven in a self-cleaning oven, how long does it need to be in a self-cleaning oven for?
I mean, the grate from the top.
Or
the racks.
The racks
3 hours, the same thing.
Yeah,
they made this color. Nothing more is going to happen to them.
Is on their end, do we have to be concerned about how much soap shampoos are toothpaste?
No. And toothpaste also really not. There are ones which are known to be kosher to paste a whole together, but certainly in the soaps and all of these areas, things you put in the mouth, we try to be a little bit more careful about. But basically, soaps and all of these things which are not edible, certainly there's not an issue of chametz. Pills and creams do not present an issue of chametz. Deodorants are really not. Most of them are made with synthetic. LMI, you can find ones which you know are for sure made with synthetic. What? Oh, you cannot use the electric coffee maker that you use for a whole year for Pesach, and don't try to kosher it either. There's not really a ready means of koshering the ones in the house. Yeah. You certainly need separate kalim for it, you know.
Right, you buy some bottles, but it stands on the counter.
Yeah, I don't know. It's not gishmak to have such. Let's put it that way. To have what's around the whole year, chometz could splash on. You shouldn't have around on Pesach. Okay, Rabbi Said, we will daven Marv in about 3 minutes. Chakosha b'somer. Don't worry about it. Huh? Don't worry about it.